Do you have an email account? How about a Facebook page? Do you bank online, shop online, pay your gas, light, or cable TV bill over the internet? I've just laid out more than a half dozen accounts that many of us have, likely each with its own password. These accounts don't die with us. The passwords to each of them are oftentimes locked away with only one person, the deceased, which means that valuable online assets could be lost forever or be found by those looking to exploit them. Take the case of Glenn Williamson, a tech entrepreneur in Portland, Oregon. In August of 2012, he got the worst possible news.
I was in the Philippines speaking at a conference, and when your phone, you know, goes off 15 times and it's 3 o'clock in the morning in the United States, you have a bad feeling. You know it's not a good call.
Glenn's 73-year-old mother, Lee, had died. As her fiduciary and as a 25-year veteran of the tech world, it fell to him to manage her online accounts.
I knew my mom, being a cool grandma, was on Twitter. So I knew she was on Twitter, and I knew she had a Yahoo account, so we had a baseline to start, but that's all we knew.
After 20 hours of searching, Glenn found 13 different accounts belonging to his mother, including email, social media, and shopping accounts.
So we broke it down into categories: travel, sentimental value, security, and basically we searched on about 75 different sites.
Some had real value.
So after going through all the airlines, we got to United, and United did indeed have my mom as a customer, and there was 54,000 miles that we were able to retrieve for our family.
All this while he was grieving.
And it's a painful, it's a long process, and everybody means well, but if one more person tells you they're sorry, it's like, okay, I just need to know, did she have an account or not?
Williamson and his wife are online savvy, relatively young, and it was still tough to find all those accounts.
So the average person, especially if the average person is doing it, is in their 60s, it's a very, very difficult process.
Glenn's problems managing his mother's online estate helped inspire him to start a business solution called WebSeize, an online service that helps people search for their deceased loved one's digital assets. It uses a person's basic information, like an email address, and finds the major online accounts that are linked to it. And although WebSeize won't shut down an account for you, it will tell you what can be done under a website's specific terms of service.
My mom had an asset inventory of her financial accounts, but she didn't have an asset inventory of all things digital. And that's really what we provide to the family, is we provide them at a high level a digital asset inventory. So you can look through it and say, oh, my mom was on Amazon and iTunes, and she had Marriott and Hyatt, etc. So that's really the value we provide.
WebSeize is one of a handful of websites that has sprung up over the last few years. Sites like Navigator, the DocSafe, Capsule, MyCyberSafe, and Afternote, all of them trying to tackle what is becoming an increasingly common problem.
Nowadays, everyone keeps their filing cabinets on their computers, and they may not have shared the access to that with their families.
Suzanne Walsh is an estate lawyer in Hartford, Connecticut.
I have received panic calls from family members who don't know passwords, don't know the nature of the online accounts. They simply know mom paid the bills online, and they may not even be sure about the bank.
Walsh says that the main problem is one of access. In many cases, we've made it virtually illegal for anyone else to use our online accounts. It starts with those terms of service agreements, the fine print of the online world. Once the I agree button is pressed, it's as good as a contract.
Many of them prohibit the sharing of passwords, and they prohibit third-party access. So right now, they tend to bar anybody but the account holder accessing the account.
That means even if the account holder is dead. Internet service providers say they're following the letter of the law, as spelled out in the 1986 Stored Communications Act, which prohibits anyone from accessing private information online without permission.
The problem with fiduciary access now is that it may be a violation of federal privacy law or a Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. It may be an actual criminal act to violate the terms of service agreement.
But being unable to access or shut down a deceased loved one's accounts could have unforeseen risks, as Glenn Williamson, who spent 20 years in online security, will tell you.
The year after somebody passes is one of the most vulnerable times for identity theft. It's a heinous crime, but what the bad guys do, because death is public record, they'll go out there and they'll comb for recently deceased and they'll create a fake identity because the deceased don't check emails and they don't get the mail.
Every year, more than 2 million Americans are the posthumous victims of identity fraud. Thieves can use a dead person's information to rack up credit card charges, apply for loans, or even file false tax returns. And much of this information can be found on the internet through something as simple as a shopping account. To date, only 9 states have any laws in effect that govern online estate planning. Suzanne Walsh, who chairs a committee on the Uniform Law Commission, an organization which drafts laws it hopes to standardize in all 50 states, is trying to change that. Last year, Walsh's committee finished drafting a bill called the Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, which would give fiduciaries the same rights over online estates as they now have over physical estates.
Fiduciaries traditionally have access to everything, especially in administering estates. And that used to mean opening up the mailbox, opening up the file cabinet, rifling through the desk. Our act is designed to continue that and facilitate that, given the different nature of the digital assets.
The bill was reviewed and enacted by the Uniform Law Commission last July, but it's still up to individual state legislatures to propose it and pass it as law. Although the act has been introduced in 18 states, so far only one state, Delaware, has signed the act into law. However, the act is not without its critics. The general counsel of a Washington, D.C.-based group called the State Privacy and Security Coalition, which represents the interests of Google, Yahoo, and Facebook, among others, came out against Delaware's new law, saying, quote, "This law takes no account of minimizing intrusions into the privacy of third parties who communicated with the deceased. This would include highly confidential communications to decedents from third parties who are still alive, who would be very surprised that an executor is reviewing the communications." But despite the pushback, Suzanne Walsh is hopeful that her committee's work will be recognized in more state legislatures.
Widespread enactment is our goal. That's our primary goal. Certainly, we hope and expect that it won't take more than a year or two for most of the states to adopt this product.
While the states debate the act, some internet service providers have begun proposing their own solutions to the problems raised by digital estates. In 2013, Google introduced a new feature called Inactive Account Manager, which would give users the choice of having their accounts transferred to specific people after a set period of inactivity, or having them automatically deleted. And last month, Facebook announced their own feature for dealing with digital estate management called Legacy Contacts. Users can now choose a Facebook friend to maintain their account after they die, but the designated friend cannot delete the account or respond to messages intended for the deceased. Facebook users also have the option to have their account deleted upon their death. But beyond new user features and state laws, there are steps that people can take now to make the process of digital estate management easier on next of kin. First, create an inventory list of all your online accounts and passwords for your fiduciary. Stipulate what to do with your email accounts in a will, and read the terms of service agreements so you can understand how or even if access to your accounts can be granted to someone else. But Glenn Williamson says no matter what steps you take or what laws are eventually passed, managing a digital estate for a loved one will always be a long, arduous, and painful process.